Our scripture today comes from Samuel, and this is the contemporary English translation of the Bible. The men of Kiriath-Jearim came and got the chest of God and delivered it to the house of Abinadab on a hill. They ordained his son Eliezer to take responsibility for the chest of God. From the time that the chest came to rest in Kiriath-Jearim, a long time passed. 20 years it was, and throughout Israel there was a widespread, fearful movement toward God. So Samuel addressed the house of Israel. If you are truly serious about coming back to God, clean house. Get rid of the foreign gods and fertility goddesses. Ground yourself firmly in God. Worship him and him alone, and he'll save you from Philistine oppression. And they did it. They got rid of the gods and goddesses, the images of Baal and Ashtaroth, and gave their exclusive attention to the service of God. Next, Samuel said, "Get everybody together at Mizpah, and I'll pray for you." So everyone assembled at Mizpah. They drew waters from the wells and poured it out before God in a ritual of cleansing. They fasted all day and prayed, "We have sinned against God." So Samuel prepared the Israelites for holy war there at Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that Israel was meeting at Mizpah, the Philistine leaders went on the offensive. Israel got the report and became frightened. Philistines on the move again. They pleaded with Samuel, "Pray with all your might and don't let up. Pray to God, our God, that he'll save us from the boot of the Philistines." Samuel took a young lamb not yet weaned and offered it whole as a whole burnt offering to God. He prayed fervently to God, interceding for Israel. And God answered. While Samuel was offering the sacrifice, the Philistines came in range to fight Israel. Just then, God thundered, a huge thunderclap exploding among the Philistines. They panicked, mass confusion, and ran helter-skelter from Israel. Israel poured out of Mizpah and gave chase, killing the Philistines right and left to a point just beyond Beth-Kar. Samuel took a single rock and set it upright between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, Rock of Help, saying, "This marks the place where God has helped us." Here ends the reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. If you were here last Sunday, you might remember Pastor Len's sermon title, Blessed to Bless, or you might remember the theme for the stewardship campaign, which is Blessed to Be a Blessing. And both of those certainly apply to this congregation here at the Church of the Palms, a congregation that's truly been a blessing to the Bailey family for the past 20 years now, I think it is. But in particular, you have been a blessing to us over the past 2 weeks. And while we mourn the passing of Dad's earthly life, we are thankful for the life God gave him and a life that he lived so well. So as a family, we appreciate the thoughtfulness of so many of you with your cards, your visits, and your prayers. Certainly, you have been a blessing to us. This congregation has also been a blessing to me personally in my work with Global Ministries in Lesotho. Global Ministries, as you may know by now, is a name for the joint mission work of our own United Church of Christ with the Disciples of Christ, the Christian Church, And that DOC in your bulletin, which I'm told some people were wondering about, what is DOC? That is Disciples of Christ. So our global ministries work is supported by two denominations. And on the United Church of Christ side, you, as the Church of the Palms, directly support the work of global ministries in two ways. One way is through your OCWM giving, Our Church's Wider Mission. Part of that OCWM money stays here in the Southwest Conference to support the work of the conference, but part goes to the National UCC, which supports the work of global ministries. But the Church of the Palms has gone far and beyond that by, for many years, regularly designating your Easter and I believe your Thanksgiving offering at times for the work of global ministries in, specifically in Lesotho. So certainly you've been a blessing to me and the people in Lesotho and of our partner church there. It's been almost 30 years now that I've been working with global ministries. The last 18 or so have been in the African nation of Lesotho. And I always enjoy talking about Lesotho because it's so different from what most of us have of those images of Africa. Lesotho is one of us few places, only three places in the world, that is completely surrounded by one other country. Lesotho is totally surrounded by South Africa. It gets snow in the winter because of the high altitude. In fact, Lesotho has the highest low point of any country in the world. The lowest point of elevation is approximately 4,600 feet, and that is higher than anybody else's lowest point of elevation. So it is not your typical African nation, very rugged and a mountainous country. If you'd like a more visual picture of Lesotho, I invite you to the January breakfast. I think it's January 13th, a Tuesday, when I will be giving a visual presentation. There's also a bulletin board halfway down King Hall that Debbie Martin, the church secretary, beautifully maintains and has lots of information about that. And I believe if you'd like to look at a dress typical of the type that Lesotho women, the women of Lesotho wear, you can see Wilma Berry after the service. She's wearing a Seshweshwe dress made out of traditional material from Lesotho that she and I arranged for a number of years ago, and I'm glad to see. She told me she'd be wearing it today on the 30th, so I'm glad to see you're here, Wilma. Thank you for wearing the dress. Lesotho is a very small country, about one-tenth the size of Arizona. The people of Lesotho are called Basotho people, and the language they speak there is called Sesotho. Our partner church in Lesotho is the Lesotho Evangelical Church of Southern Africa. Rather long name, which I usually shorten to the Lesotho Evangelical Church or simply the LEC Church. So that's what I mean by the LEC, the Lesotho Evangelical Church. This church was founded by French Protestants who came to Lesotho in 1833 from the Paris Evangelical Missionary Society. Interestingly, they were actually invited to Lesotho by the founder of the Basotho Nation, King, now known today as King Moshoeshoe I. So almost 200 years later, we now have the Lesotho Evangelical Church carrying on the work of those first French Protestant missionaries. For my first 15 years in Lesotho, I taught at one of the high schools of the LEC Church. I taught math and mathematics and some religion courses, coached basketball, I was a boarding school, many activities including Scripture Union, an international interdenominational Christian youth organization. In global ministries, though, we work in partnership with our church partners, and a couple years ago, the LEC asked me to take up a new position, so I'm no longer teaching at one of their schools. I'm now working in the LEC's planning office, a much different type of job, more of an administrative job, where I work closely with the church's planning commission. We get tasked with such assignments as developing a strategic plan, working on church restructuring. But my job also has a project component, working on projects that benefit from the gifts that you give through your Thanksgiving and Easter offerings, such as purchasing computers and textbooks for the small seminary of the church there. So your gifts do make a difference in the lives of the people there. I've also been heavily involved with a much larger project of getting some classrooms built up in a remote mountain area for one of the church's primary school. A very challenging task, and I'll be sharing more about that during my presentation in January, if you can be there then. 2014 is a very special year in the life of the LEC because it marks the 50th anniversary of when the French missionaries handed over all administrative and authority and responsibility to the Basotho people. So they've been marking 2014 with some special events, and for their theme, they have chosen words from our scripture reading this morning. The 12th verse of 1 Samuel chapter 7, which in a more traditional version would say, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." And the church has chosen that theme, recognizing God's providential care. As in the story that we read, Samuel lifted up a stone, named it Ebenezer, recognizing God's help in defeating the Philistines. So the church in Lesotho recognizes that it's by God's providential grace and mercy that the church there is where it is today by God's help. And I think that's a sentiment all of us, whether in Lesotho or in the United States, can agree with. So this morning, I'd like to share with you some stories from the life of the church, the people, and even the history of Lesotho. Stories that I hope might serve as stones of help, what I might call an Ebenezer moment. Perhaps they will stir within you ways in which you can recognize how God is helping you through these very stories, or they might stir up your own memories of special events in your life where you might have lifted up a stone of thanksgiving to God, an Ebenezer moment for you. My first story is about hearing God's call. When pastors are ordained in the LEC Church, it's traditional that they give a long testimony of how they came to be called to pastoral ministry. These are often very moving and powerful testimony of God's overriding presence in their lives, because in the eyes of the Basotho Christians, things do not happen by chance or by fortuitous circumstances. Rather, they happen by God's guiding hand, as expressed in these two short verses from the book of Proverbs. "To us belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. In our hearts we plan our course, but the Lord determines our steps." Reverend Sematlani is one of the long-serving pastors in the LEC, and earlier this year we were sharing a car journey, and I asked him how he was called to pastoral ministry. So he related this story to me. He grew up in the early 1960s in the very parish that was first established by those French missionaries almost 200 years ago. And in 1975, his father died, and as the eldest son, it was his responsibility to look after the family. His mother, he was a young primary school teacher at the time. His job was to see that the fields were plowed and planted, take care of the animals, and things like this, and he was dutifully doing his job, he says. But shortly after his father's death, he began having dreams, and it was always the same dream, and in the dream, his father would always come to him in the dream and say these words to him, "No one is doing my work. No one is doing my work." And he was haunted and troubled by this because he was doing his utmost to fulfill all the responsibilities expected of him. People could tell he was disturbed by this, but he denied that anything was wrong until one day his pastor called him, and he reluctantly shared the dream with his pastor. And after hearing the dream, the pastor replied, "Well, you know, your father was a dedicated lay evangelist at one of the small outstations of our parish. In the LEC church structure, there you have a main parish like the Church of the Palms, but you could have 10 or 15 small satellite churches in the in the rural areas surrounding that place." And Reverend Sematlani's father was one of those dedicated lay evangelists. And so the pastor said, "That's the work he's saying no one is doing." When he told me this, I thought he would be feeling burdened by having additional responsibilities that his father would be placing upon him. But he actually felt relieved by knowing what was the meaning of this dream. So with his pastor's help, he enrolled in seminary, and for over 30 years now, he has been joyfully serving the LEC Church. And in looking back on this event, he can see that time of the dreams was an Ebenezer moment for him, where God helped him to discern his true call. And I think his story has some importance for us as well, because those of us, we often think of our job as what we are doing with our families and our day-to-day activities. That is the work God has given to us. And yet, even for retired folks, I know you have maybe more time, but you often fill those up with your regular routines and that, and we can easily lose sight of what is really God calling us to do. Maybe there's a place in your church, in the community, where no one is doing God's work, but you might have the time, the talent, or the treasure to do that. Perhaps Reverend Semetlani's story might be an Ebenezer moment for you. My second story is one you probably have heard me talk about before, and that comes from the worship life of the LEC Church. The longest part of a church service in the LEC is always the offering. A typical Sunday morning service might take 2.5 hours, of which 45 to 60 minutes will be taken up simply by receiving the offering. And that's because we receive the offering in groups. Everyone belongs to a group simply based on where you live. So when your group is called, I belong to the seminary group since I live very close to the church seminary, someone in the group or in the congregation will start a very joyous chorus or hymn. People stand up, start clapping hands and singing joyously as the members of that group come up, put their money on the table. The singing continues while they count and record the amount, and then we get to the second group. And we have about more than 20 groups. So if you allow 2 or 3 minutes for a group, you can easily come to that amount of time. But what one notices is that it's a very joyous time, a time of celebration. It's a participatory thing. I often say the offering is not something we simply give. It's something we actually do. We do the offering. And you often would, for people who have, a few visitors I've had from the United States, and they participate in that, that's the one thing that will always stick with them is the offering. They'll never forget the offering. So you contrast that with the way most of our churches in the United States receive the offering, where it's a very quiet, meditative time. Perhaps that will be the case this morning, or maybe Pastor Len has a surprise. But you wonder sometimes, how much joy do we really have in giving? After all, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians says, God loves what kind of a giver? A cheerful giver. So do we have that joy that they have, despite the fact that most Basutu have far less than we have, and yet rejoice greatly in being able to give? Maybe the LEC has something to share with us about being more joyful in our giving. Perhaps those words of Samuel, recognizing thus far the Lord has helped us, could cause us to be more aware of how much God has done for us. And there might be an Ebenezer moment in this story from the life of the church in Lesotho. I'd like to conclude with some information about King Mashweshwe. He was the founder of the Basutu Nation and very remarkable leader for his times. He often did some things that confounded and confused his followers. The books, Annals of African History, repeatedly comment about how wise his leadership was thought to have been. Back in the early 1820s, King Mashweshwe was a young leader, just coming into his leadership role. And it was a time of very great problems in southern Africa. In history books, this is a period of time called, in English, the hammering or the crushing. It was a time of great famine. There were wars going on between African nations, African tribes, as well as the whites moving up from southern Africa, conflicts over land. You had extreme poverty, forced migrations of one tribe moving from another. You even had the practice of cannibalism because the times were so desperate in the 1820s. Well, it came time for King Mashweshwe to lead his people from one mountain refuge to another. And as they were moving from one place to the other, his grandfather, very elderly, lagged behind and was actually captured and eaten by cannibals. And Mashweshwe was not going to exact revenge on those cannibals, and his warriors could not believe this. And he said, well, if we do that, we'll be disturbing the grave of my ancestors. Because as far as he was concerned, the cannibals who had eaten his grandfather were now the grave of his ancestors. So instead of attacking them, as his people wanted to do, he sent them seeds and hoes and tried to wean them away from their diet of human flesh. And this became the trademark of Mashweshwe as he grew in his leadership role. Whenever other tribes would attack him, he was never militarily defeated completely. He would always invite his victims, or the ones he had defeated, to become part of his nation. by offering them cattle and say, come join us and strengthen us as a nation. And so the Basutu Nation actually became known as a nation of refugees by uniting these disparate peoples together into one nation. So in Lesotho today, you basically have one nation, one people, unlike in most African nations. You really have one culture in Lesotho. In many ways, he really was a man ahead of his times. He was even ahead of the missionaries who came to proselytize in his country. Shortly after the French Protestants came to Lesotho, about 20 years later, you had the French Catholics, and then you had the English Anglicans, and those are still the three largest denominations in Lesotho today. But the story is told that the heads of these three churches at the time, back in the 1860s it probably was, Moshoeshoe called them to him and said, I want to be baptized. And so there's a story that is told about the conversation that took place between Moshoeshoe and these three church leaders, the missionaries. King Moshoeshoe, I have called you before me today so that you may baptize me. Well, who of us would you like to baptize you? Well, all of you shall baptize me. No, you can only be baptized by one of us, not all of us. But you all represent the same God, the same Jesus Christ, the same Christianity. Yes, but you can only be baptized by one of us. You have to make a choice. I believe in no words of any of you. I just believe that you represent one God, one Christ, one religion by your own words. No, you must choose one of us to baptize you, because if one of us does, the others will not. Do you all agree on this way of doing it? Yes. My children, you have surprised and disappointed me. It is better that you go for today. We must choose yet another day, for I have to ponder upon these matters. So as the missionaries turned and walked away from him, Moshoeshoe reportedly said to his sons and his elders, it will be wise that we take good care of these men, for I can see they come from their own homes bitterly divided. And if we should not be watchful over them, they shall divide this nation to its utter ruin. Sadly, his words actually proved prophetic. About 100 years later, in the 1950s and the 1960s, just as Lesotho was being given independence, the political parties in Lesotho became aligned with particular churches. And in 1970, the political party that was in power annulled the most recent election, which they had lost. They suspended the constitution, declared a state of emergency, and human rights abuses became very common. At that time, the LEC was the church that was outside the government. So some of the pastors in the LEC still living today were imprisoned at that time for speaking out against what was happening in Lesotho. The church's newspaper editor in 1981 was assassinated by the government of the day. LEC members found themselves being discriminated against. And through it all, though, the church not only survived but thrived by God's help. And the church looks back at this period in the 1970s and 80s as an Ebenezer moment in the life of the church there. The good news is that today, the churches in Lesotho actually work together through the Christian Council of Lesotho, so that the Anglicans, the Catholics, the Protestants, and other churches are working together to help solve the many problems, political problems, even in Lesotho today. Sadly, the political parties have not learned to get along while the churches have moved forward. Shortly after I came back to the States in August, there was an attempted coup in Lesotho, and in the last couple of months, there is still a lot of uncertainty about the path forward. At times, the political parties have called in the Christian Council, the churches, to help solve their problems, but yet they have still needed to get further help from a Southern African regional body trying to resolve the political and even security issues facing Lesotho at this time. So I ask you to keep the people of Lesotho and the LEC as well in your prayers, because it's still not certain how things will resolve themselves. So thus far, the Lord has helped us. The Lord helped Reverend Sematlani to discern his call to ministry. The Lord has blessed the LEC with a generous spirit of giving and enabling it to persevere in spite of persecution. May the Lord allow us to be blessed by hearing their voices and the stories of reconciliation from the times of King Moshoeshoe. My prayer this morning is that we've heard the voices of our brothers and sisters in Lesotho, and having been Blessed by this good news, we in turn can share our own Ebenezer moments. We can share our own stories of how God has been with us, because I believe a missionary is simply someone who shares the good news of how God has been active in their own life or in the lives of those they have seen, and can share those stories. We can all bear witness to those Ebenezer moments in our own lives. Indeed, thus far, the Lord has blessed, has been with the people of Lesotho and the LEC Church. Thanks be to God for their work and for the ministry of Global Ministries, which allows us to hear those voices. And finally, thanks be to God for your generous giving, which supports the work of Global Ministries. Thanks be to God for your partnership, which makes it all possible. Amen.